Succession number 20599, Real Fool.
Mr. Whitwell, Real Fool. You were saying you had this job with General Lloyd?
Yes. Now, I found, rather to my surprise, that the Army was prepared to go on paying for me for another year or so. So I was briefly and temporarily became ADC to General Sir Charles Lloyd, who was colonel of my regiment, the Coldstream. And then I was posted to Vienna area, which meant the headquarters of the British Army in the centre of Vienna. And I spent from the early summer of 46 to January / February 47 in the Vienna area in charge of what was called RDNR. I was really second in command of that. There was a major called Guy Micklethwaite, who subsequently became a great friend of mine. And we were concerned with the restoration of property that had been illegally taken by the Nazis. This was very interesting from an international point of view, because, of course, the cases were discussed every week, I think, at a quadripartite meeting with the Russians, Americans, and ourselves. And the general policy was that cases should be looked at from the Nazi occupation of Austria in 1938. But the Russians insisted that we should go back nearly 4 years earlier, because they considered that Chancellor Dollfuss of Austria, you remember that little tiny man who was more or less dictator of Austria from 1934 and was eventually shot and murdered, they regarded him as a fascist. So we had to look at Austrian cases as far back as 1934, which was an added complication. That work was not particularly pleasant, because it mostly consisted of hearing people tell stories about each other. My neighbor was a fascist and all this kind of thing, and Frau so-and-so pinched my curtains or my jewelry or something like that. But it didn't go on forever. It was very interesting living in Vienna at the time. I made friends with various people, including a number of Austrians. I attended with a colleague the first of the Salzburg festivals after the war, which was more or less held under American bayonets, but at least there were some of the old singers from the old days. And I had for quite a long time with my friend and colleague, who was my immediate senior, Major Guy Micklethwaite, we had an officially captured car, captured from the Germans, which we used. The worst about captured cars was that they could be recaptured. And at one stage, before the end of my tour, the car disappeared in the Soviet sector of Vienna, and of course we never got it back again. But there were other ways of getting across the rather hazardous neutral zone of Austria, where it didn't do to break down, up into the British zone and to go trout fishing or attending parties of various kinds in the Semmering direction. And that that winter, one way and another, passed very happily.
Did the atmosphere in Vienna bear any resemblance to the notorious Harry Lime film?
It's easy to imagine that it did. I suppose in some ways it did, yes. One was very much aware of that. But chiefly, it was the lack of food for the general population. And I made friends, and a colleague of mine with an aristocratic Austrian family who lived in a flat. The absence of heating, the absence of food. We used to have parties. We used to bring them what we could in the way of food and cigarettes, and it was quite jolly, really. And I went back to the Graz area, where there some relations of theirs had property, and we managed to have quite a lot of fun and quite a lot of parties. But what brought that to an end was the civilianization, if you like, of the occupation of Austria and Germany. And my job was taken over by a man in a curious and rather undignified sort of boiler suited uniform, who was of all things a Mr. Smith, and with an Allied Control Commission badge, and they weeded the soldiers out. So I went back home.
How did you get on with Russians in Vienna?
Not too badly at all. One was, of course, endlessly plied with vodka, and their curious long cigarettes, half of which was simply a cardboard holder. I remember that. So no quarrels about that. But one was increasingly aware of what was going on, and we were past the days, really, when I first came back to England, of the British expecting that there would be a perpetual alliance with our Russian friends. And in the course of that, I took various sections of a big countrywide exam for the senior branch of both the Foreign Service and the Home Civil Service. And that was the time of the so-called country house parties, guided very happily by A.P. Herbert in a wonderful novel called Number Nine, in which the methods of selection devised in the war, what were called WASBs, which was War Office Selection Board, were applied to recruiting members of the administrative branch of the civil service and the foreign service. And in the course of that, I remained in uniform, of course, which was quite useful. And I think I had three or four different sorts of exams or tests or interviews or something, at the end of which, to my great surprise, really, because I hadn't really, if you like, tried very hard or anything, I was told that I was provisionally accepted for I think we called it the Foreign Service rather than the Diplomatic Service at the time, and was, of all things, posted to Tehran.